Module 2, Think Like an Entrepreneur.
When you hear the word entrepreneur, you probably think of a business owner. The term itself has become much more popular in recent years as people increasingly want to sculpt their own pathways and build lives that they can really love. The definition of entrepreneurship itself has expanded so much, and so have the different pathways that you can take. Have you ever contemplated your entrepreneurial capacity, for example? Explored how you might take a more creative or independent route to your work? We'll show you how to look at a wide range of these more unconventional but increasingly popular options. You've heard me say this before, think like an economist and act like an entrepreneur. Consider gaps in the market, talent shortages, new trends, untapped potential that's ripe to be harnessed. Then look at how you can create or pursue opportunities for yourself to capitalize on the openings that you see. When you think like an entrepreneur, you automatically become a problem solver. You can launch a fabulous new business, help fuel a startup, or become a leader in an existing organization. Think about how to apply your skills to a wide range of different types of companies and organizations. Adopting this bigger perspective will help you rise to greater positions with more responsibility and make you invaluable to potential clients and employers. Studying entrepreneurship can teach you all of this too. The key to serious success in either employment or an entrepreneurial role is having a bigger context for your work. How big of a thinker or how ambitious you are or how much risk you're interested in taking is totally up to you and your comfort zone. Striking out on your own or taking a more independent path in your career can be very enticing, but also scary. So here we're going to get into the topic of fear. You can't allow fear to stop you from doing something you really want to do, and knowing in your heart that you really should. There are tons of support out there for you today, regardless of how much you feel that pulse of entrepreneurship coursing through your veins. Entrepreneurial ecosystems are cropping up in cities all over the world, inspiring and encouraging people just like you to explore entrepreneurship and innovation. We'll give you a peek into some of these communities that support these endeavors and the stakeholders who bring it all together. Regardless of which path you ultimately choose, if you embrace a more entrepreneurial mindset, the possibilities become endless.
When most people talk about entrepreneurship, they usually think of startups, small businesses, new ventures. We do too, of course. But we also have a broader definition that we'd like you to consider, the entrepreneurial mindset. Entrepreneurs tend to view the world with a go-get-em attitude that we think is really helpful to everyone, even those who are not interested in running their own businesses. Adopting an entrepreneurial perspective as you look at your opportunities in the world has the power to open up vastly greater avenues for work, experience, and exposure. One of my favorite quotes is, "Think like an economist and act like an entrepreneur." Why you should study entrepreneurship? We are huge fans of the idea that everyone should study entrepreneurship, but not because we think everyone should be an entrepreneur. It's nice to know you always have that option, though. When you study the science and art of new venture creation, you look at how ideas become reality, how concepts are executed, and how organizations and teams are created from scratch, organized, managed, and scaled. You also look at how money is spent and how profits or losses are generated. If you think about it, wouldn't you be more valuable to any company as an employee if you were trained to think of all the different parts of a business and how they affect the bottom line? It would be much easier to see, address, and take ownership of big-picture projects, problems, and opportunities. Company owners and managers are always looking for leaders. Now consider how having these skills might impact your opportunities more broadly. Let's say that you're trying to figure out what you want to do with your life or what your next steps should be as you build your career and are looking to become employed by some amazing company. If you took a more entrepreneurial perspective, focused on opportunity recognition, identifying gaps in the market, talent shortages, new trends, untapped potential, don't you think you'd discover more possible employment opportunities for yourself? You would. There are also some of you who might be thinking, yes, I do want to start a business of my own, or maybe work for a startup or a smaller company. You're going to need to know all you can to be able to make your venture survive and thrive. Whichever option you choose, the employment route and the entrepreneurial path can be equally compelling, exciting, and fulfilling. We think both are equally great. Our main priority is for you to be successful doing what you love in whichever path that you prefer. Utilizing an entrepreneurial mindset will help you to see more opportunities and gain more skills in a variety of different areas. These days, thinking like an entrepreneur applies to us all. Studying entrepreneurship not only improves your business and financial knowledge, but it also makes you a better employee and leader. It teaches you not to wait for opportunities to be offered, but to find and create them. Opportunity recognition is a critical life skill. Think about it this way. You can go online or pick up a newspaper and search endlessly through job listings, or you can look around and think about what's not working. Who needs help? What's lacking somewhere? And then go figure out what you can do about it. How and with whom? That's the entrepreneurial mindset. Taking things into your own hands. Being a problem solver. Being a catalyst for positive change. What you do with any newfound awareness of opportunity is up to you. You could keep the insight to yourself, share with others, research to explore more possibilities, engage with others about your ideas and discoveries, present new opportunities to your current employer, pursue working in that area in some capacity, or even launch your own project, program, or company. Your entrepreneurial capacity. We live in a beautiful time in history. Today, entrepreneurship and innovation are celebrated globally. Still, there are communities that are slower in their adoption and acceptance, but the entrepreneurial spirit is spreading like wildfire around the world. We're seeing a huge rise in intrapreneurs also, people who are employed but have an entrepreneurial approach or role within the company where they work. These people are quick to take charge of their departments or take the lead with new projects and initiatives. This wonderful global shift is causing all people, whether they're traditionally employed or self-employed, to be more creative, innovative, and adventurous, to explore new ideas, test new concepts, and take risks, and to venture and question what might be possible. Online, there's an activity I love called Gauging Your Entrepreneurial Fire. We're going to ask you to respond to a bunch of questions like, do you like structure and being given instructions? Do you like to follow your own path or prefer to go where there isn't a path? Are you proactive, creative, innovative? Do you have big ideas about things you want to create? Do you feel safest with stability and routine? Do you seek control and ownership? Are you willing to learn how to do things on your own? Are you very particular with how you want things done? Do you like to take responsibility for everything, some defined things, or nothing at all? What's your risk tolerance? What kind of lifestyle are you looking for? Are you willing to put in long and possibly irregular hours at work, sacrificing your free time? Do you work better as part of a team or independently? Think about your answers. What picture of yourself is forming? What are your interests, your aspirations, your comfort level? Remember that we're not suggesting that being an entrepreneur is better in any way. There's no right or wrong here. This exercise is about you knowing yourself so that you can make choices and at some point pick a path that feels right to you. Exploring the range of entrepreneurial opportunities. As we discussed earlier in the opportunity spectrum, there are many different work paths that you can follow, which basically fall into three different categories. Experience, like volunteering, temp work, independent contractors, to employment, part-time, full-time work, or entrepreneurship. We briefly touched on some of the types of entrepreneurship in that section, and we're going to expand on that now. You might be surprised at the range of possibilities. Let's consider your entrepreneurial options. Which of these are you now? Which could you see yourself doing? In the next activity online, we're going to ask you to explore your entrepreneurial options. Are you a visionary, intrapreneur, entrepreneur, freelancer or consultant, engaged in alternative employment or a contractor, franchise or license owner, social enterprise expert, activist, or none? That's okay too. Choose your partners wisely. In any entrepreneurial venture or project, the amount of work required to make something new come to life can be pretty daunting. Many will naturally turn to friends, family, colleagues, or others who can help them. When you start to look at collaborations with others that are more formal in nature, it's helpful to have some framework to evaluate, set up, and manage partnerships. Partnerships is a big topic, but it's one that we wanted to touch on because launching into one can benefit you greatly, yet it can also complicate things. It can profoundly impact your success, for better or for worse. Being in partnership with someone is very similar to marrying someone. It's a legally binding agreement in many cases. Be mindful of whom you create partnerships with so that you're always on the best track for success. Here are a few things to contemplate before launching into a partnership or situations where you're sharing responsibility with others. Set your objectives. Why are you forming this partnership? Discuss mutual interests, aspirations, and concerns openly and candidly. Formulate an agreement. Outline the scope of work, influence, and mutual expectations. In formal business interactions, this agreement is called an operating agreement. Define who has ownership of what and how that's shared or divided. Who has ultimate responsibility? Whose word is final when people don't agree or tough decisions have to be made? Plan for what would happen if your partnership failed. What if you couldn't stand to be in the same room 6 months or a year from now? What contingencies would you want for your business or your project? Plan for what would happen if your business became incredibly successful. From the beginning, base your relationships on openness, honesty, trust, and a mutual respect. Be open to change, compromise, and new perspectives. And always remember the shared goals and intentions with which you formed the venture and partnership in the first place. These are just a few of the many things that can make collaboration or partnerships more rewarding, substantial, and successful. Advice from industry pros. Born in the former Soviet Union, Elvina Beck jokes that she created PodShare, an affordable housing model for travelers and those in transition, because her conservative parents wouldn't let her have sleepovers as a kid. This industrious entrepreneur founded PodShare because she recognized three different trends. First, the rise of the freelance economy. Second, the loneliness solo travelers experience when overspending on solitary hotel rooms and the difficulty transplants have when they apartment hunt in new cities. What exactly is PodShare? It's a dormitory-style co-living space for those travelers, freelancers, and transplants. It solves their needs in a way that's inexpensive and promotes meeting other people around the world who are also living lives in this way. Elvina is such a great example of someone with a strong entrepreneurial drive and spirit. You'll see what I mean in a minute.
My name is Elvina Beck, and I am the founder of PodShare. PodShare was born in 2012, and I called it social travel. I thought, well, less than 1% of hostels are marketed. And it's really odd because Americans travel in hostels in Europe, but in America, we don't use them. We will stay in hotels, which is like the solitary, expensive experience, and by ourselves, it just doesn't make much sense. But then is there a way to rebrand hostels, not call it that? And that comes with changing the lexicon of it. So again, you don't call it a hostel, you call it what I think, co-living. And you don't call them bunk beds, because bunk beds are for kids. That's not a dignified way of existing, so we call them pods. Why don't we try to travel like a local, but then also provide incentives for people to stay longer and actually provide like an affordable housing model? You spread them out across the city and sprinkle them and say, hey, they're like a coffee shop model where you go in and you know the menu, you know what you're gonna get, the linens, the free food, 24-hour keypad to let you in and out so there's no curfew, the toiletries, and also the friends. So I think when you're on your entrepreneurial this mindset or like this path, you have to believe in yourself so much that persistence, your perseverance is the thing that really takes you from A to Z, and Z, which is like what you see in your head as like the final product. Like I see what PodShare can be. I know that, you know, it's 10 pods at first, it's 20 pods, you know, secondly, and now there's three locations. And then for $1,200 a month, you could pay one monthly fee and live across the state of California. Like in Europe, how they do the Eurorail, and you just pay one pass and you go and you travel. I know you can do that across the California. Now do the West Coast, now do the country. This is what I see in my head. And some people are like, wow, you're thinking so big, but why not? You prove your concept and the people with the money kind of see, okay, well, she's doing it, right? She's not just talking about it. she's investing her own money into it. Like, you got skin in the game. And I've done the research for mine. So at Podshare, we have a 94% occupancy across 4 years with 6,500 people. We know our stats, 87% of them come solo. We have 5 out of 5 star reviews. Like, there's just undisputable data that when we go in and we pitch it, like, what are they gonna say? When you present a solution into the market, into the world, and people kind of take it, like, I saw a bed as, you know, two boxes on top of each other with a stairway, because I thought that the ladder was really uncomfortable and I hated the rickety top bunk. And so I thought, okay, this would be this way to solve it. But then you can also make it amenity rich. You could put a flat screen in there, watch Netflix, Hulu, Pandora, HBO Go, kind of still going with the generational times of, like, we want it now, we want it free, we want it accessible on mobile, tablet, computer. You have to understand your demographic, you know, which I do because I live in it, to kind of build for it or create for it. Entrepreneurship is not for everybody. It's this unknown world where you will fail. I had a startup that failed. I lost $50,000 of my friends and family. They trusted me. They gave me their hard-earned cash and I lost it. I hate to say this, but if you're going into working for yourself and you're using your money or other people's money, you are really going to be working around the clock to constantly prove this concept and to prove that you're worth this concept. With entrepreneurship, you may go pitch and lose every single round. You may ask people for money and lose all of it and feel terrible about it. And how do you get yourself back up, like I did, for the next startup and go back out and ask people for money? For the next round, I used credit card debt for Podshare, and also I did a crowdfunding campaign. I had to think more creatively on how to do this, but I knew I couldn't go and get a job. I was fired from my first one. I couldn't focus on anything except for what I thought the future trends would require and how I would have the answers to it. And I thought housing was really necessary. The best thing about working at a startup is you can create your own title and create worth for the company. And what I mean by that is, if you're a designer and they have a style guide, why not just try to provide something that goes above and beyond and say, okay, here's what I would do differently, and go above and beyond and say, okay, I did my job, but by the way, what if we did this? And you offer new ways of doing the same thing that have been done previously. Now, at a large corporation, that might be harder, right? You know, there's a large ladder to go up. But in a small startup, and this is the best part about working at one, you are usually working really close to the founder, and so your ideas get initiated much faster. It's the amount of work that you put in and the amount of creative thinking that you provide that can shape a business, and you've created a role for yourself there. Fear is really strange to me, and I'm afraid of scary movies, so maybe it's like that. Maybe you guys are just afraid of like something's gonna come out and grab you. I don't understand the fear of trying something you actually like, that you actually might be good at because you like doing it. Just because it's been there before you doesn't mean it's great. Like the hotel industry, they say, you understand what you're going into? And I said, well, what's the worst that could happen? If you have these ideas, you need to jot them down. You need to pitch them. You need to have one-on-ones if you're embarrassed about pitching them in front of a group and say, hey, why don't we try it this way? And if you get a no, well, I suggest still doing it anyway. So as an entrepreneur, I constantly hit roadblocks. Like I'm constantly getting no's. Sometimes people think I'm like a little crazy because of the amount of pitching that I do, but two things happen. I'm constantly like refining my pitch and I'm constantly saying it out loud, and you kind of have to draw a picture of where you want to be and then step into it. And I'm constantly doing that. And seeing people's reactions, sometimes they've been like, oh, it's like a gym membership. And I'll be like, oh, I'm gonna use that. I love pitching, and I'm not really scared of much because I probably have hit rock bottom so much, in the sense like I lost people's money. Like I get no's every single day, but when you get a yes, it feels amazing and it makes all the no's worth it. And that's what I live for. It's kind of like an adrenaline rush. The sharing economy made it possible for us to work for ourselves. Like, go and see if you like it. People are making excuses constantly. There's no jobs, the economy's broken. But if you're really passionate about something, I don't understand why you wouldn't just do it. Really, what do you have to lose?
Most people resist trying new things because they fear failure. While understandable, it's a shame because failure is unquestionably one of the best ways to learn and grow. Embracing failure is something to think about more openly, as it can be one of the keys to success. In building your career, it's important to constantly be exploring, looking at your opportunities from different angles, and trying things just to see where they go and how they feel. All change requires trying something new. It doesn't come from the status quo. If you want to launch a new product or idea or service, you have to have the courage to try it. And sometimes the things that you try won't work. Read about the world's greatest entrepreneurs and you'll find that practically all of them have failed, sometimes more times than they've even succeeded. The public generally only sees the successes, not what it took to get there. Being an entrepreneur involves risk. Trying new things in your career does too. Some people are naturally more comfortable with risk than others. If you tend to want to play it safe, you can practice building your risk tolerance by making regular, conscious efforts to step outside of your comfort zone in small ways. We're not saying to do anything crazy. Just keep stretching yourself to build those risk tolerance muscles. If you're shy, this could be talking to someone new at a networking event, even every day, raising your hand to ask a question in class, or traveling to a new city or country by yourself. You'll grow tremendously from stepping beyond the boundaries of your fear. Keep in mind that most people want to stay comfortable and minimize risk. So think about what kinds of people you surround yourself with. Try to be around other entrepreneurial types to get support, ideas, and inspiration. Look into meetup groups, networking events, and co-working spaces. Maybe start a group with like-minded friends. To take things to the next level, find an experienced entrepreneurial mentor who can share their wisdom with you. It's important to know how to fail. When your big idea doesn't manifest the way you thought it would, don't sit around feeling sorry for yourself. Think of all the things that you've learned from that experience. Think about how much more knowledge you have now. If you were to do it all again, you would know exactly what to do and not do. Everything takes practice, and the more you practice, the better you'll be. You'd better believe that the chef of your city's top restaurant failed at making your favorite dish at least 100 times before you even tried it, or that entrepreneur extraordinaire Richard Branson failed at a million little things before launching Virgin Airlines. Don't ever let failure bring you down, and don't be afraid of it. See it as a helpful tool. Learn what you can from it, then move on and try again. The new world of entrepreneurial ecosystems. Something exciting is happening in the world of work. There's a wave of support coming to entrepreneurs everywhere in the form of communities built to foster new thinking, ideas, and innovation. Sound interesting? It really is. Fostering entrepreneurship has in recent years become a priority for many countries and communities around the world. Why? Because the best solution to solve unemployment has now been proven to be new venture creation. This means that most of the new jobs being added around the world are coming from non-traditional employment. More entrepreneurial types of engagement with companies and high-growth startups. That means that there are tons of opportunities along those two pathways alone. If you're looking for more entrepreneurial opportunities for yourself, consider jobs in the quote-unquote alternative economy and in high-growth startups. These are two huge global trends well worth the time and research to investigate for yourself. Let's explore what they are, how they're structured, who the stakeholders are, and how you can become part of this brave new exciting world. Regardless of your path, when you have an open heart and an adventurous spirit, life is so much more exciting and engaging. What is an entrepreneurial ecosystem? There are communities growing all over the world that are actively cultivating fertile environments for innovation and entrepreneurship to spark, grow, and thrive. Formally, these are called entrepreneurial ecosystems. They're fueling entirely new economic segments, creating plenty of new jobs and entrepreneurial opportunities. These communities can spring up organically over time, or they can be planned and cultivated by local governments, entrepreneurs, and educators. Either way, they signal networks of committed resources coming together to support people who are forging their own paths. How are they structured? Just like the entrepreneurs they aim to serve, some ecosystems are brand new startups themselves, with a few committed people and a lot of big ideas and potential. Others are very robust, formally organized networks, which basically make them like a candy store of resources for entrepreneurs. Yes, there are cities and communities like this out there. Many different players make up an ecosystem, and they can be operating totally independently or be deeply collaborative. Once you dive in and get to know the people in these worlds, you'll find yourself quickly surrounded by more support than you ever imagined. If this resonates with you, make it your mission to work your way into these worlds and help others do the same. Who are the stakeholders? When you want to understand something better, it's helpful to think about who it matters to most in any environment or equation. Those groups tend to be the stakeholders, the people who take responsibility for driving or solving an issue. When you understand the stakeholders, you can start to see numerous pathways to engage and get involved. You can also better understand their objectives, which makes you more likely to capture their attention if you were to meet them. In this case, stakeholders in an entrepreneurial ecosystem are those who are naturally the most vested in the success of the local startups and innovation. Here are the most common key players. Governments concerned about stimulating the economy, supporting the business community, addressing unemployment, and increasing revenue from new organizations paying taxes are building policies to support entrepreneurship. This includes improving the regulatory environments and making it easier to start and run companies. They tend to focus on directing policies, gathering stakeholders together, and giving credibility to the organizers on the ground through public-private partnerships. This means you can actually work directly with governments right now. Companies want to be supportive and connected to growing businesses in their community who might be consumers of theirs, or even partners in growing their operations locally. They also want positive attention and to do good in the communities that they serve. Educators and schools are most vested in educating people in the community. When they teach business and entrepreneurship, they want to encourage new students to apply to their institutions, as well as support their alumni in their future careers. They also want to associate their schools with this growing field of entrepreneurship to train the new generation of leaders and workers. Incubators, accelerators, co-working spaces, and hackathons are all different players and event spaces in the ecosystem that inspire people with ideas to dig in, build a team, test their concepts, and attempt to turn their ideas into companies and organizations. All have training and development as part of their core value proposition, which means that they're the places you go to learn, test, and build. Private equity, venture capitalists, angel networks, and banks are all different players in the funding space. These groups provide the capital to grow and scale entrepreneurial ventures at all different levels of success. Media organizations always want to share stories about interesting projects, people, and new ventures in their communities. They may even want to play a role as a sponsor or advocate for part of a specific community or entrepreneurial ecosystem. Where are these entrepreneurial ecosystems? Some of the most well-known communities for entrepreneurs are in San Francisco, Silicon Valley, California, in the United States, Tel Aviv, Israel, Cairo, Egypt, Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, Dubai in the United Arab Emirates, Berlin, Germany, Reykjavik, Iceland, Santiago, Chile, Dublin, Ireland. And there's so many others. You'll notice that all of these are already dynamic cities, but there are also many smaller communities all around the globe working hard to maintain their own attractiveness as great places to start businesses and grow them in supportive environments. How do you find communities that you can tap into? For a comprehensive list, look up Global Startup Ecosystem Rankings or search Entrepreneurial Ecosystem and your country or city online. Note that you may have to do some detective work and map out the resources closest to you, but you'll be amazed at how many resources there really are. Also consider looking regionally, especially if you're in an emerging market or one where the resources aren't as great yet. It might present an excellent opportunity to travel and build connections among other communities. If you happen to get the chance to visit several of these entrepreneurial communities around the globe, you'll discover that there's a group of regulars who become like family due to their shared passion and commitment to spreading entrepreneurial opportunity all over. What can you do to experience this new wave of opportunity yourself? Find a group doing something of interest in an ecosystem near you and ask them about upcoming events. Show up, meet as many people as you can, and learn about what the local community and resources look like. Actively explore, participate, and listen in whenever you can. Keep an open mind about what opportunities might exist. Connect with the stakeholders and befriend people actively involved in this community. Ask to be added to their mailing list. Volunteer to help, or see what kind of referrals they can offer you, given the state of your entrepreneurial ambitions. Many powerful people and organizations are working hard to ensure that the entrepreneurial opportunities all over the world keep growing. Summary. We hope that you're as excited as we are for you to look at the world with this new entrepreneurial mindset. Remember, we're not trying to persuade you to run your own business, but we are encouraging you to be more proactive in your life. When you think like an entrepreneur would, your life's potential immediately multiplies because you're actively engaging with more people and situations, which in turn creates more opportunities.